And right now, let's talk a little Penn State. We'll jump over to that Bud Light hotline. Covers Penn State for Penn Live. It's David Jones joining us. Hey, David, how are you, man? Thanks for the time.
No problem. It's a beautiful day in Philadelphia.
It's good to know. It's kind of a rainy, overcast day here, but I wanted to ask you, just bird's eye view looking at Penn State as they go through the fall and prepare for their season opener, what's the biggest question they need to answer in fall camp?
The offensive line, and it's really been the only position group during James Franklin's tenure, which is now in its ninth year, that's never really had an outstanding unit. You could say that about every other position group, offense or defense, that he's had at one time or another a really outstanding unit. You can tick through all the different ones, but offensive line has been a sticky spot for him, and you could argue they haven't really had anything more than adequate there, and it's hamstrung the program during his entire tenure. They did not perform well at all last year. They could not run the ball either to move the sticks or in situations where they had third or fourth and short. They just didn't perform, and they weren't particularly good pass blocking either. So that's certainly it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. As you mentioned, they couldn't run the ball. They were 118th in the country in rushing per game. They gave up an insane amount of tackles for a loss. How do they fix that? Is it a talent issue? Do they just not have the right guys to build a proper offensive line? What's the problem?
Yeah, usually you ask a coach that question and they bristle a little bit. But James Franklin's at the point where I asked that exact question during media day. I got the mic after about the third or fourth question and said, yeah, I ran in the exact example by him, and he didn't really disagree. And then I said, well, so what is it? Is it scheme? Is it not emphasizing the run enough? Is it recruiting? Is it development? Is the wrong mood lighting among the linemen's lockers? What is it? And he said he didn't have any answer except that it's everything. I think it's more about coaching and development. They've had a number of different offensive line coaches. They haven't had a lot of continuity. And they've had mismatched guys. I mean, you've seen some of their tackles who look like guards. At least the guys they have this year look like tackles. I don't know if they'll play like tackles, but they have just had a lot of people who didn't really get off the ball. They didn't move off the ball, and they didn't drive when they needed to drive. And that's got to be their strength or technique, doesn't it? It has to be one or the other. I mean, it's not like they're small guys. They got a right tackle, 6'5", 323, Caden Wallace, but he doesn't move the pile. He just doesn't. He hasn't so far. Their new left tackle is a sophomore named Ulu Fashinu, and he's 6'6", 313. He looks like a tackle. He is long and bendy and flexible, and he's a really bright kid, too. So anyway, that's the story. They're going to have two new guards who haven't played all that much. Juice Scruggs moving to center. They have to be able to run the ball because their quarterback, Sean Clifford, is not too mobile. And the best thing they can do on their offense is let him throw. And if he doesn't have time to throw, which a lot of times he didn't last year, or year before, they got big problems. And that's why they only scored 25 points a game last year.
Yeah, you bring up Sean Clifford, and this is a guy, as you mentioned, I mean, he's been there for what, going into his fifth year? Will Levis had to transfer because Sean Clifford was in his way. And, you know, you look at what he's done and the experience that he's had, how much better can he be? I mean, is there still something more that he can bring as a fifth-year guy?
I don't think so. I think we've seen who he is. And at times, he's been pretty good. I mean, they lost the Iowa game last year substantially because he was knocked out. He was knocked out with a hit late in the second quarter. They were winning 17-7 at Iowa. He got a couple of picks out of his system early, and he was looking really good. He was moving the offense. He had time, and they were going to win that game by double digits. I have no doubt in my mind. When he got hit and knocked out, they had nobody ready. So in my mind, when he has time, he's one of the guys who he tries to do too many things when he has to improvise. He tries to do things that he can't. You may remember Trace McSorley. I don't know if people down there do or not. But he was so elusive. And he and Saquon Barkley masked the camouflage, some of the weaknesses in the offensive line, because their first steps were always evading three rushers. I mean, Saquon had a lot of negative runs that year because he couldn't avoid three rushers coming in from every direction. Trace McSorley was able to do that. Sean Clifford cannot. He cannot evade those guys. He needs to be protected. He's a pocket quarterback, and he needs protection. And when he gets protection, he's pretty damn good.
We're talking with David Jones from Penn Live. He covers Penn State here, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline on Jocks 94.5. Obviously, Dotson is gone, a high NFL draft pick, but you got Parker Washington, Lambert Smith is coming back. They got that Tinsley kid who's transferring in. I mean, is there a chance that trio of wide receivers, that they'll be able to be as explosive as they were when Dotson was on campus last year?
Yeah, I think they're going to be a strength of the team, especially Michael Tinsley. I got to look at him. There was a weird game. God only knows why. But a few years back, Indiana signed to play at Western Kentucky. Does anyone in the SEC ever do that? Would they ever go to, say, Troy to play a road game? I don't you tell me.
No,
I don't know.
No, they wouldn't.
No, nobody does that. But Indiana football, you know, it's Indiana. I guess Vanderbilt might, right?
Yeah, fair.
But Tinsley and those Western Kentucky wide receivers were really impressive. Indiana still had Michael Penix, and it was all they could do to get out of there with, I think it was a 33-31 win. Tinsley is very good. He's probably not Jahan Dotson good, but when you put together with Washington, who's a really good possession receiver, they're going to be fine at receiver. That's not the problem. And I expect big things out of Tinsley. I really like what I've seen.
Now, the flip side, the defense last year, I mean, it was a solid defense. They gave up, what, 20 points or less 8 times. They were 7-1 of those games. They kept everything. Even against Ohio State, they didn't get wiped off the field. But their pass production, they lose some of that. Who steps up? I mean, can this defense be on that level that it was last year?
The fact is they stoned Ohio State for most of the game on the ground. That was my first indicator that Ohio State up front wasn't what everyone thought they were. And they kept Penn State in the game until they could win it against Auburn, you remember. They did get moved by Auburn's offensive line. Tank Bigsby ran for a while, but they didn't give up any big plays, and that won that game for them. I think they've got problems at linebacker, and I expect in that Auburn game, you know, with their problems and indecision of who is going to be the quarterback. Do we know who's going to be the quarterback yet?
We do not.
So I expect Harsin to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball some more and test out that linebacker core. He knows there's a lot of guys that are question marks back there. Curtis Jacobs is a really good player, and then they've got guys who've not played much back there. That's not usual for Penn State. I think their defensive line is going to be pretty good. But when you're running the ball, you're testing that linebacker layer. And I expect Harsin to do that over and over and over and see if they crack. And if they do, Auburn's going to win the game.
Yeah, and Auburn's got a very good offensive line and one of the best running backs in the SEC, if not the country, in Tank Bigsby. So, you know, it was a battle last year, I thought. In both these programs, it was interesting because Penn State, I mean, much like Auburn towards the end of the year, they just fell off a cliff. Now, they were losing close games, but still they closed 2-6. Are they taking that? Is that like momentum they're bringing in? Or do they feel like, okay, that was an anomaly? We lost a lot of close games. We think we're close to being on that level to win the Big Ten.
I think the offensive line is the core of everything. If they develop, if they're just halfway decent, they can win a lot of games. Like I said, they lost the Ohio State game 35-23, and they held Ohio State's running attack almost without any substantial gains until Henderson busted loose in the third quarter, and that kind of broke the game open. It was 33-23. 33-24 is what it was. And they're that close to being competitive, but without a substantial upgrade on the offensive line, they cannot hope to really improve. And I think people like to look at all the sparkly objects and bells and whistles, and they avoid looking at the offensive line so often in college football, in any football. And it's the bread and butter of any team, man. You cannot have winning football at any level with the kind of performance they've had out of their offensive line the last few years, and it's going to continue at a lot of 7-6s until they fix it.
David Jones from Penn Live covers Penn State, joining us here on Jocks 94.5. When you look at James Franklin going into his eighth year, he's had a couple of really nice seasons there. I mean, they probably got screwed out of a playoff spot a few years ago, but 7-6 last year, 4-5 in the COVID year. Is there any sense that this is a hot seat at all for Franklin, that they've got to do something here this year?
Well, he just signed a $70 million 10-year contract. So the buyout is not as such this year where that's tenable, especially at a place like Penn State where they're notoriously conservative. They're not like an FCC school where they run coaches in and out here every other year.
Yeah.
Just not like Auburn, right?
Yeah, not at all. Yeah, totally different.
I have no explanation for that contract. I mean, the prior athletic director who just retired, Sandy Barber, signed that, and I really don't know why. Franklin had very little leverage at the end of last season, but that contract was on his desk for a few weeks before he signed it. No, he's not on a hot seat this year because of that contract. Next year, I mean, anything's in play. You can't keep going at 500 at Penn State for four straight seasons, and that's not tenable because it's too important around here. You could argue that Penn State football is as important as it is in the FCC, and there aren't too many Big Ten schools that I would say that about. Penn State is one. They're not going to abide too many more 7-6 seasons. One, yeah. Two, it's questionable.
Yeah, that's. I was kind of wondering about that because, like you said, with that new contract, but I just wondered at a place like Penn State, how long can you underachieve, even with the massive contract, before they go, what are we doing here? I mean, we should be better than this.
Well, like I said, what did they do there? That's the question. What were they thinking? Because it's almost like what Lynn Swann did, you know, at USC with Clay Helton. I mean, what was he thinking? And that hamstrung that program for years because he signed that extension. There was no leverage that where he had to do that Clay Helton had. And this was the same kind of thing. But they're not going to be able to buy that out. If he's not performing, no one else is going to be able to, no one else is going to want to buy that out either. So they're going to have to live with him for at least one and probably 2 years. That's what I think.
David Jones, man, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight.
All right, Matt.
All right, there he is, David Jones. Covers Penn State from Penn Live on that Bud Light hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun. Bud Light is there.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft. Presented by Bud Light. Live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.